God bless you. Need I say what a joy it is for us once more to gather in love and harmony and peace. And it's also a special joy for Marcello, since we are all here in Annam. This is a great joy for me. See you, Brother John. What will you talk with Marcello of this time?
The worship of God.
Hello, Maria. Hello. The worship of God, Brother John, is the cleansing of the spirit. It is the stripping down, if you wish, of one's spiritual self, and the cleansing of this, of all the material needs and requirements and gains, of all your weaknesses, of all your fears, of all your doubts. The worship of God is to acclaim all those things of love and peace and the beauty upon this earth. Is to acclaim the knowledge of Christ and all those other administering angels who came before him to bring the word of God. The worship of God, Brother John, is like for you here on this earth plane to wash and cleanse your body so you can take away from yourself all these smells of yesterday and be fresh, ready to begin a new day, cleansed and pure and free from anything that is unpleasant on your body. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes,
do not ask me. It is the cleansing of the spirit. It is a refreshing of your higher consciousness. It is a redressing of all that you believe in, of all that you hold close. The worship of God is also an acclamation of your love for your fellow men and for your fellow creatures here on this earth plane. It is a moment when you will come to the Father and say to him, Father, you created this earth, and truly I can say to you, I love all that is in it, for it all has value to me and enhances my growth and my involvement. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, indeed.
Is this answer for your question?
Yes, indeed.
Is there anything else you wish to talk of then?
No.
And you are content with all I have said to you?
Yes, indeed.
What else can we say about the worship of God? What else can we say about the cleansing of your inner being, of the preparation of your higher self, of the removal of all those things of mundane awareness and thinking, which tend to fall upon our thoughts and hinder our seeking for progression and love. The worship of God is to seek the removal of all these things and to seek within ourselves the ability to open your heart to your fellow men, to embrace your brother as a brother, not as a friend, to embrace your fellow beings again as a brother or a sister, equal to yourselves. If they have won a claim, congratulate them for their acclaim. But look upon them as being no higher, or no more, or no lesser than yourself. And if you see a lesser man, how can you cleanse and purify your thoughts and your heart before the Father if you condemn this lesser man for what he is? Surely you. Isasukimasusanda would say to you, search yourself. Search yourself. And even lower yourself, if you wish, to his level, so he will feel equal with you. But this does not mean to say you have to lower your intelligence or your code of life, or your way of belief. Just because you bend down to talk to a child doesn't mean to say you have become as this child. Although probably the child perciò mangiare, sì. He's more evolved at this stage of his life, in any case. But look to your fellow men. Embrace them, love them. And if they have hurt you or harmed you, forgive and understand them. Is it not said by the Master Christ in his Sermon on the Mount, agree with thine adversary. Do good to those who will harm you. Love those who hate you. Do not condemn. Do not judge. And all these things, we must strip ourselves of, so that we can become a pure and a holy spirit, and a wholesome spirit, in order to worship our God in truth and in sincerity, equal to all men. Consider these things. When you consider the worship of God, and when you consider the worship of the Holy Spirit, and when you worship all things, remember, you are equal to all of them, except to God. And there we must remain, forever humble in his sight, forever at peace with ourselves, if we are to remain in his presence and embraced in his love. You understand this now, Brother John?
Yes, sir.
If you will not talk with Marcello anymore now. e qui ne atte nostra torre.
Covered many topics by now, Marcelin.
Tellomi,
tellonante. Govern, human behavior.
Pelo.
Man's love for God and for neighbor.
Who else then will wish to talk with Marcel? No one.
I have one question.
Si, bello mio.
It's a simple one, really. I would like to know your full name and have you spell it out so that we have a record.
Brother Christopher, I am Marcello Piacello Giavinci. Is this a mic you can take?
Yeah, I've recorded it on the tape, Marcello. I would have spelt Marcello as Marcello, but it doesn't sound
correct. Is the M, is the A, is the CC,
CC,
is the E, is a hello, see, Tony.
Thank you very much indeed.
Malattini.
I don't understand Italian, you see.
There's Gonia.
We do now. Thank you very much.
See.
Would you spell the second name?
Sì. Tono. Sì, sì. Is it difficult for Marcello?
Piacello would be P-I-A-C.
P is a P, is a I. Ia, ia, a. Is it P, is it P, I, you call it. Aya, aya.
P-I-A.
Pia.
Yes, yes.
Cello.
C-C-E, again.
C. Si.
Yes,
thank you. Eccomi, Tato.
Okay. Giovinci.
Giovinci. Sì, it's very strange, this performance. Wow. Christy is full of surprises for Marcello.
So, would the final name be G-I-A-V-I-N-C-I?
Tell Marcello this again.
G-I-A-V-I-N-C-I. A?
C, I is ending. Ben, non c'ho tornare, sì.
Thank you very much, Marcello.
Sì, meno. I do not understand these writing words of yours.
When we do a book, you see, we need to put your name down properly.
You are very clever with these writing words. But you must recall, Marcello could not read nor write.
No, I'd appreciate that.
And I have never learned this thing. I have only learned it to sketch. Buonarroti would make for me a scribble, sometime, when it was necessary for me to do so. Gildonetta. Is this all you wish of Marcello?
Well, Marcello, then, you see, all the churches and the chapels interpret the worship of God totally wrong. They take St. Paul's exhortation of sing to one another in psalms and hymns of praise, and so the worship of God has come to mean something totally different from what it should have been. It's on the excellence of voice, on the excellence of music,
and
pageantry,
and
liturgy, and all this. It reminds me of the Old Testament says, when God says, I'm not pleased with the blood of bulls and the goats and the
peoples.
But the worship of God is a contrite heart, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
See. Brother John, and did not their master Christ speak of these things in gaining his Sermon on the Mount? You see, this Sermon on the Mount was of great brilliance, and it epitomized the wisdom of Christ and his great command of teaching. When he took the Ten Commandments and he took the Proverbs and the Book of Psalms, he took the Old Testament, if you wish, and he restated this to a multitude of people on this mountainside. All you will find in your Old Testament, in the Book of Psalms, in the Book of Proverbs, in the Book of Kings, in the Acts of the Apostles, in all of this, you will find in the Sermon on the Mount. Because you see, Christ knew that man had misunderstood all the prophets before had he said, and they thought they had to set themselves up as the high priests and kings to be seen and identified and looked upon by God. It was never more mistaken than this. And this is why Christ walked this earth and possessed nothing but the clothes he walked upon, and his shoes upon his feet. He lived on his faith and his belief in his fellow men, and for what they gave him. In return, he blessed them, and he healed them, and he taught them. And ultimately, he stood here in this mountainside, and he taught them everything your Bible has taught in previous years. He taught them that all would be blessed, and all things are blessed. He taught them not to judge. He taught them to believe. He taught them to consider the other things of the earth. Tried to make them understand that although they were looked upon as being lesser than man, still God cared for them and clothed them by saying to them, "How much more will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And did he not tell them that when you give your alms to God, don't be like the hypocrites who will stand in the temples and on the corners of a street so that they can be seen of men and glorified for their much speaking. But go. See? And enter into your closet and worship your God in secret, and your God who hears in secret shall answer you. Still they could not understand this, and their understanding was, but surely if we do this in secret, no one will see us, and no one will see how great we are, because we can talk to God in all our robes and finery, and all the trinkets we have around us. when will man understand that all this, which is great tapestries and ornaments and jewels and insignias and inscriptions are of no value to God whatsoever. They only symbolize man's belief in himself. They only symbolize his weakness. But you, Brother John, and you, Sister Valerie, and Sister Maria, and Sister Jacqueline, and your brother Christian, you can come here dressed as you always dress. You have here in front of you a simple symbol of suffering and of joy and of relief. And you have your book of words. I ask you now, I ask you all, consider this, does your father hear you any less? Because he doesn't. He hears you even more, so much so that he sends Marcello, one of his servants, to come and speak with you. And open your eyes to this truth, to understand these beliefs, to know the simplicity of your being. And so it is, Brother John. For all their much talking, and their much shouting and the praises, even the laws that they make within the church are unjustifiable laws. They are only made according to their own vision, not according to the vision of God. For the law of God is that all men are equal in his sight. No one is higher than another. And as he has done, so you all will do also in his name. You will all heal. You will all bless. You will all have the gift of visions, the gift of tongues, the gift of love, equal to one another. No more, no less. It's only the awareness and the unfoldment of your intelligence and the level of your intelligence, which will allow you to use this, perhaps a little more than one with the other. The Lord your God is a loving God. He is a true and a magnificent God. And for all this, he is a gentle, loving and caring God. And he sees all his children, all these who are oppressed and put down by the high and the mighty on this earth plane. And did I not say to you the last time we spoke, it would be easier for a rich man to pass for the eye of a needle than it would be for him to enter into this king of heaven. I know the Bible, Brother John, he says, it would be easier for a camel. But I say also, it would be just as easy for a rich man, and a noble man, and a proud and mighty man, to walk through this eye of a needle, and it would for him to walk through into the kingdom of heaven and be received for what he is. For there is no rich, no proud, no high and no mighty here in these realms of God. There is only humility, simplicity, love and grace, and in equality, one with the other, in the presence of God. And so it is. We know and understand it, Brother John, those things that you have said about the way your worship is performed, and about those who ordain this kind of worship, who write the words for it, and cannot say it unless they read it. When you speak with the Father, Brother John, in such a way that the Father will know and receive and believe and understand those prayers you make to him, he will not do this unless he knows that it has come straight from your heart, straight from your inner being, not pre-written and pre-arranged to make it look beautiful and very nice to say and very nice to listen to. This is all very well, but these are not the things that the Father considers. What he considers is the essence of what he says, and the essence of the person's heart, from whence it has come. Do you understand this, Brother John?
Perfect.
And so you see, when you speak with the Father, all of you, once again I would say, do not be as the hypocrite. Will stand on the boxes on the street corners, will raise themselves up above the crowd so they can be seen and heard for all the gabble they have to say, believing that because they can be seen and heard of man, that man will praise them. Man may well do so, but God will not. And this is what matters, surely. What will the Father believe of what I am saying to you? I am not come to destroy the law and the prophets, the Master said. I am come to fulfill, believe in his commandments. Believe in them. For whoever does not believe in them and will teach men so, he is the least in the kingdom of heaven. He is the very least. So, when you give your worship, do it with love. Do it in secret. Do it with joy. Does this make you content now?
What significance has the high altar in the church?
Trompoma. Is this not where you prepare your communion with God, Brother John? And is this not where Marcello sits? But this is the only thing, a kindred to the table of the Last Supper. And this is all for Marcello, and it would symbolize. I know, going back into the days of the Last Testament, when man would create an altar upon which to make his offerings to God. This has been so since the early times of man, and since the times of Christianity. and things way back before, when David would create an altar before God and make his sacrifices. Jacob, Joshua, all of this did these things. It was their custom at the time to make a table. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It only symbolizes of this thing, Brother John. But the altar was upon a time was a cruel thing upon which they laid these little children of God and it destroyed their lives. Was a symbol of cruelty and has been among mankind ever since. Why do I say this? When once I have said, but this is where you make your Holy Communion. Even Christ was he sacrificed upon this table of the Last Supper. He sacrificed himself upon this. Did he not place his body and his blood upon this table? And was he not placing his spirit into the hands of his immortal body and entrusting it into the hands of the 12 disciples? And what did they do? They denied him. They doubted him. They feared him. They were ashamed of him. They betrayed him. All around this is a symbol of cruelty. And even today, this same act is celebrated on the high altar of your churches. It is the table that thou hast prepared before him in the presence of his enemies. And it is the table that you prepare before one another. It is the table of his sacrificial love upon which the flame of sacrifice continually blows and grows. It is the table upon which man has the whole sincere opportunity to lay upon this table the sins of his life that he may be forgiven. He will not sacrifice by the blood of another. He will not lay sacrifice by the destruction of another life. But man should never be prevented from going before the altar and laying upon it the confession of his own sins within his own heart before God. And unto God in secret and in private, so that he may cleanse himself here upon this place upon which Christ forgave his brethren and his disciples even before they had offended him. The high altar, Brother John, is the place upon which man lays himself and he sacrifices his life and his love to God. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, indeed, that's wonderful.
Will you consider these things when next you raise this goblet of wine and this plate of bread to the sign of the crucifix by your altar and give thanks to God for the blessings he has bestowed upon your heart as a member of a brotherhood of his love. I will tell you something now, Brother John. Since we have come before the High Altar in our inner vision, when Marcello stands beside you, each and every time you give worship at this altar of yours, I am not standing beside what you call the Anglican priest, Brother John. I am standing beside one who is destined to become ordained into the holy order of the White Brotherhood of Man. For this will be your place, and this is how we see you now. We do not know you nor see you in your rich finery, for we know that this offends you also. But we see you as you are, a child of the Holy White Brotherhood. Will you remember this, Brother John? Do not discard it from your thoughts. For the teacher, he who teaches those of this brotherhood, Brother Gustus Emmanuel, stands also at your side. And you are being trained by him even now. Yes. Do you understand this, Brother John?
Yes.
This I will say to you now, before God and before all these of your children who are present, this is not just a friendly wish or a simple blessing. This is ordained through the holy orders of God that you serve him as a child of his eternal peace and love, and that you shall turn not away from even the simplest of men. Know them, and love them all, and you will evolve, Brother John. You understand this? Who else now will talk with Marcello? Have I talked too long, Brother Christopher?
No, not at all,
Marcello. Not at all. Who now will talk with Marcello? I love your questions. I love your challenge.
The cleansing in the temple,
Marcello,
by Jesus, when he walks in the temple and he finds that there assembled are all the money changers and the traders. And the Bible records how he upturns all the tables of the money changers. Is this a true account or is it allegorical?
To extend is allegorical, as you call it. I take it you mean by this false.
Yes, it symbolizes an eternal truth.
Christ went into the temple and he did not go about destroying everything which belonged to man. Was he angry? Was he very cross? And in his anger, he brushed her hard against the one or two of his dolls, and they fell over, being as they were so weak and very timid made. And because this, everyone who would say, "Oh, he has he destroyed the temple, he has he cast everyone out, he has he done so many bad things in his temple." And all he did was to catch a table and a shelf with his elbow as he walked briskly into the temple. And he would not apologize for knocking it down. He said, "This is my father's house, and there is no place here for this. Take it away. I am not sorry I have knocked it down." I can talk now.
Yes, please.
And he rebuked them for this. When they challenged him because he had knocked all this stuff on the floor. "Why should I pick it up? Should not be here in the first place," he would say. "This is my father's house. This is no place for a moneylender. This is no place to bargain or to sell or to rob one another. Take it away, and let my father's house be used for those things it is truly meant." See, he rebuked him, but he did not go wild and upturn all the tables. He only knocked one with his elbow. It was not enough. He should have knocked them all. We understand his wrath. And even today we see this in the temples of the Father. Even today, man has not learned this lesson. Still, he will make the money box rattle in the church. Is not a noise we wish to hear. We only wish to hear the noise of prayer. We know that these things must be paid for, and they must be provided. And we know it is wrong to say, "Oh, never mind, God will provide. It's his house, he will look after it." But God, he says, "Well, you made it, you use it, you care for it, and I will be there." And so we understand. Of course, see, there must be the giving in order that it may exist in a material form. But when we see this, things turned into a marketplace where tiny creatures of God are sold, then we will object. Then the Father is vexed and angered, for he knows when even the smallest of his sparrows fall. He knows when one of his children is encaged and sold for the amusement of others in his temple, in this place of worship. He knows that there is this much bothering going on even now. And from time to time, his wrath is felt. But as we have said, he is a loving God. He is a forgiving God. And his wrath does not come hard like the burning chariots of the Old Testament. His wrath softly touches the hearts of those who are guilty. And he pulls at their heartstrings and their conscience. And if then they do not understand, whose is the fault? So please, Brother John, understand that those things which man wrote in this book are not a true account, as we would see it if we were to walk back in time. It was a simple, ordinary, everyday occurrence, where Christ heard that this was going on in his Father's house, and he walked in quickly and briskly, angered at what he was told and what he was about to see, and full of expectancy. And in his urgency and in his haste, he brushed against this thing whereupon this money changer was working. And he was knocked to the ground, and everything rolled all over the place. And Christ would not allow him to pick it up. He told him to rid himself, to go away, and all the others like him to go out of the church, to leave the temple and take all their rubbish with them. The house of God was no place for this kind of thing. But he did not strike a man. Neither did he throw his tables all over the place. He simply told him to go and leave. And he told him in anger. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes.
He's to make you content now.
Yes, I understand how the holy power of God through Jesus would cause unholy people to flee in haste before the holy power of God.
It is an awesome power when it is in anger, the Brother John. And for them to suddenly see this man, so much love and gentleness, and so much peace, so much joy and comfort and compassion, suddenly turned into a rage like this, and made them angry, struck fear into their hearts, fear they did not know existed, because they could not understand how could he, such a loving, gentle man, suddenly become so enraged and angry with them, and scold them the way he did. And when he knocked this thing with his elbow and didn't even look to see what it was he knocked down, they ran into the streets and told everyone, he is upturning everything in the temple. He is like a raging animal. He is throwing everything around. I wish I could have been behind him and seen this. He was such a pathetic thing in reality, Brother John. And a very trivial thing, exaggerated by man. You understand this now? Is you all contained now? And there is nothing more of the wrongs of this world you want us to put right. Don't know. Brother John, as I have said in passing before, it is soon to be time now. We make this into writings.
Yes.
And so it is. We really come but once more, and we will conclude this part of your writings, in order now you may put these together and complete your work. And when this is done, we will recommence again and begin to talk of the love of God and of the brotherhood of man and of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as we see it in this plane of ours. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes,
sir.
I shall ask you, Marcelo, to, after the next meeting, I shall ask you to give an introduction to this book. And if you wish, the spirit side can choose the title.
Non già
bear these things in mind.
Beh.
There's such thing as memory in your
face. He's of no trouble for us. We will do this. We will do this for you. Easy, simple. But we will do it with love. He's once again, Brother Gustus Emmanuel, is he performing his oath elsewhere. And so it is, he will not be talking with you this night. So it is, I will talk with the Father for you, if is you wish this to be so. So, let us close our hearts together and unite as one in love and in faith, in compassion and in true belief, in all that you are in the sight of God. E o pepari, we see you, in all around we see and feel and touch. We see you, in all that is symbolic of love and in truth. We see you, in all that we know as grace, as a compassion, as a caring, as joy. And so it is, Holy Father, in humility and peace, that we seek all these things within our daily lives, that we may identify with them and become one with them throughout the rest of this natural life here on earth. And I of your brotherhood, O Lord, bless and beseech you, and grant that Marcello may forever work and serve in your peace and love, that these of you children may come to know and understand the mysteries and the joys of eternal life. I ask you will continue to keep your servant Marcello forever in humility and in pardon. And may your holy hour be my holy lifetime. And in that hour of thine, O Lord, much shall I ask thee, may I evolve with these of your children, and so bring them to your peace and love, and into your eternal care and keeping, and enriching them, that thou mayest behold them as your beloved children, that they may forever remain within thy sight. May the love of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, may the peace and the grace of this eternal love and plans enter into your heart in conscious awareness and understanding, and remain in your lifetime through the love and the will and the grace of God, the Father Almighty. And as through the symbolism and the inspiration of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, dwell and rest, remain within each and every one of you from this day forward, and even the eternity. Amen. God bless you, my children.